Luke chapter 7, let's start reading now in verse 18. As a pastor, to be able to pastor a bunch of people that make it a joy instead of a grief. Amen? We can do things out of joy, or we can do them out of grief. And you can follow God out of joy, or you can follow Him out of grief. Amen? The Bible says His commandments are not grievous. See, if we love Him, if we really appreciate what He's got, it's just a joy. Amen? And I appreciate and thank you all for making pastoring this church a joy. Thank you. Beginning verse 18, "And the disciples of John showed Him all these things." Am I on? Oh, it's recorded now. I can't get away with it. All right. Verse 18. "And the disciples of John showed Him all these things. And John, calling unto him two of his disciples, sent them to Jesus, saying, Art thou he that should come? Or look we for another? When the men were come unto him, they said, John Baptist hath sent us unto thee, saying, Art thou he that should come? Or look we for another? In that same hour He cured many of their infirmities and plagues and of evil spirits, and unto many that were blind He gave sight. Then Jesus answering said unto them, Go your way and tell John what things ye have seen and heard, how that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and to the poor the gospel is preached. Blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. And when the messengers of John were departed, he began to speak unto the people concerning John. What went you out in the wilderness for to see? A reed shaken with the wind? But what went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they which are in gorgeously appareled, live delicately, are in king's courts. But what went ye out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and much more than a prophet. This is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. For I say unto you, among those that are born of women, there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist. But he that is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. And all the people that heard him, and the publicans, justified God, being baptized with the baptism of John. But the Pharisees and lawyers rejected the counsel of God against themselves, being not baptized of him. And the Lord said, Whereunto then shall I liken the men of this generation? And to what are they like? Now, you want to get a guy, get under his skin. You know what you do? You do what Jesus did here. You know what you guys are like, you men? You know what he said? Look at that. Verse 32. They are like unto what? Children. Oh, man. What does no man want to be called? Yeah, that's an insult, man. Jesus is insulting them. I mean, doesn't he realize that if he does that, he might offend them? Jesus must not have the sweet spirit of Christ. For John, they are like unto children, verse 32, sitting in the marketplace and calling one to another and saying, We have piped unto you, and you have not danced. We have mourned to you, and you have not wept. For John the Baptist came neither eating bread nor drinking wine. And ye say, He hath a devil. For the Son of Man is come eating and drinking. And ye say, Behold, a gluttonous man and a winebibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. But wisdom is justified of all her children. And so this whole passage here, we see this is about John the Baptist. John the Baptist is in jail. John the Baptist was called to be that messenger for God. We looked at that thing this morning. He was Elijah, if Israel had accepted it. He was that one that was forecast in Malachi chapter 4 that would come and prepare the way for the Lord Jesus Christ. These Pharisees, these lawyers, the Sadducees, the scribes, they reject John. And, coincidentally enough, they reject Jesus. Where's John at this time when this is going on? Does anybody know? He's in prison. Say, why is he in prison? For preaching the truth. That's why he's in prison. You know what he preached? You know what he said? He preached that Herod was a sinner and had sinned because he had taken his brother Philip's wife to be his own wife. And he called the leader of that area out on the carpet. You're wrong, buddy. You sinned. And Herod puts him in jail. And so John's in jail. Could we then, from that, come to the conclusion that maybe John's thinking things aren't going real well for him? Right? Now, we know what John said. He said that he must increase, I must decrease. See? He knew that. But here he is in jail. Wait a minute. Things aren't going the way I planned. Now, my ministry is really not on good foundation. My ministry just hasn't been blessed the way I thought that God would bless it. And I'm in this position now, and I'm here in jail. I'll tell you what, guys. He's got some of his disciples visiting him. You go to Jesus and ask him, is he really the one? That's what this whole thing's about. And so his disciples come to Jesus and they ask him that question that John sent them to ask. Look there in verse 19. John calling unto him two of his disciples sent them to Jesus saying, art thou he that should come? Or look we for another? What was John looking for? Verse 20. When the men were come unto him, they said, John the Baptist has sent us unto thee saying, art thou he that should come, or look we for another? What was John looking for? Well, now notice Jesus in response, after he sends the disciples back to give word to John, notice what Jesus says then to the people, verse 24. And when the messengers of John were departed, he began to speak unto the people concerning John. What went ye out in the wilderness for to see? A reed shaken with the wind? But what went ye out for to see? Notice again, verse 26. But what went ye out for to see? Hey, what was John looking for? Jesus' response to the people is, hey, what are you looking for? And God's question for you today is simply that. What are you looking for? You know what you usually find? You find what you're looking for. So the question is, what are you looking for? Now, you know what some people are looking for? They're looking for some personal need to be met. That's what they're looking for. Now look there in the scripture we just read. Notice verse 32. They are like unto children sitting in the marketplace and calling one to another and saying, we have piped unto you and you have not danced. We have mourned unto you, and ye have not wept. What's Jesus telling these people? You are looking for something concerning your own little personal whims and needs. That's what you're looking for. That's what he's telling them in illustrative form. What is it you're looking for? Look at verse 24. And when the messengers of John were departed, he began to speak unto the people concerning John, What went ye out in the wilderness for to see? A reed shaken in the wind? What are you looking for? You see, John being a reed shaken in the wind, you know what that means? The people could have controlled the preacher so that they could get their personal needs met. That's what it's all about. For some people, that is what they're looking for. Whether they'll admit it or not is another story. But in their heart of hearts, in their life, in their mind, what they are truly looking for is a way to have their personal needs met. That's most people. Do you know who knew that? There was a fellow, he figured that thing out a long time ago, back in the 60s and 70s. His name was Robert Schuller. He had this big glass cathedral out in California. It's now been given to the Roman Catholic Church. But at the time, he was what we would call the first real mega church. I think that glass cathedral seated almost 20-some thousand people. Just a little bigger than this here. See? Now, and the idea was, he has this mega church, and then other preachers start looking and say, well, how did he do that? And Robert Schuller started putting on these big events and classes to teach others how they too could have a mega church. One of the attendees was a fellow named Rick Warren. And he was a good pupil. And he learned that what's necessary if you're going to build a big church is to simply find out the needs of the people and then develop your church to be that church that can meet all the needs of people. Whatever they need, the church can provide. You know what a lot of them need? They need family help. Well, no wonder. He's away working, she's away working, kids are sent off to public school, which is nothing what God ever intended in that Bible. Amen. And so, yeah, now we've got family trouble. Oh, what are we going to do about it? Well, this church, they have all these different things for the family. They've even got ministries that focus on the family. See? And everybody loves that. Why do you think the Mormon church has grown so much? What's their emphasis? It's on the family. Sure. At least outwardly. Inwardly, another story, since they have the highest rate of teen suicide among any group. But outwardly, it's we focus, we can meet that personal need that you have. You with me? Now listen, all you need is a Bible. You can find out everything you need to know about that family. And there is stuff in that book, and I preach on it, on what you need, as far as a husband, as far as a wife, as far as children, among all that. But that is not God's number one thing. You follow me? You want proof? Was Peter married before Jesus called him to be an apostle? During his whole 3.5-year ministry, where was his wife? I mean, didn't Jesus care about all that time that Peter was spending with him instead of with his wife? Hey, you read your Bible, don't you? See? What about those soldiers that would have to go away for long time periods? Weren't with the wife. That's why God says the wife is the one that takes care of the home. Amen. I don't like that. I don't care. I can't believe he just said he doesn't care. He doesn't care about my personal needs. See where we're at? You see what's happened in the last 40 years? There's been a great shift in Christianity. See, now it's all about you. What are you looking for? That's the question. What are you looking for? Are you looking for your financial needs to be met? I get calls all the time. People, they're all of a sudden they're interested in church. because they got themselves in some trouble. Rick Warren at his church, what they did is they set that thing up. All right, we're going to get some mechanics in the church. If anybody has mechanical needs, they can get their need met. See? And we just do all that through the church. We can help out some people financially. We can do all these things to meet their needs, to match their needs. That's how you grow a mega church. Because a lot of people out there are only looking to have their needs fulfilled. You see, maybe we could get a yuppie bar. We got this extra room back here. Get us a little, you know what a yuppie bar is, don't you? We get like a little Starbucks back here, you know? Yeah, we can have some health foods and granola and all that and some Starbucks. And you can all come in here and drink your Starbucks in your golf shirts, and I can be up here in my golf shirt. And, you know, you can eat a muffin, drink your Starbucks while we have church, while we worship. Well, isn't that your needs are being met? Isn't that what's important? Now, that's what's going on out there, brethren. That's what's going on. What are your musical needs? You see? Whatever your musical needs are, we can meet them. Actually, what we'll start doing is we'll have two services. We'll have a contemporary service for people that have those musical needs, and then an old-fashioned service for those who have those musical needs. Because after all, your musical needs are important to us. Now, hello, that's where we're at. Do you need healing? We have a place where we can meet that need. Come stand in line. Oh, you can't stand? Too bad. And our preacher will put his hand on you and throw you down and go into convulsions and you'll think you're better. We can meet that need. Now, if you would please hold your place here in Luke. Look with me in Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3. And for those of you who have been coming out on Wednesday nights, we've been doing a series of lessons on the last days. The last church that shows up, the church of the last days, or the Laodicean church, which means the rites of the people. The only church that he refers to as the church of the Laodiceans, instead of the church at Philadelphia or the church at Ephesus. Now it's all about you. This is the church that makes God puke. This is the church, he says, I will spew thee out of my mouth. You make me sick. Why? What did this church have to say about itself? Verse 17. First of all, notice this is the only church that has anything to say about itself. No other church of the seven does. None of the other churches has anything to say. But see, the Laodiceans think that what they have to say is important. Because after all, they are them. And notice what they say, verse 17, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. Hey, all their needs have been met. They're set. They're good. All their needs have been met. You know what the Lord says? You make me sick. And then you know what the Lord says? You know what I need? Look down a couple of verses. What does the Lord need? What does he tell them to do? Repent! That's what you need. That's supposed to be why you come to church. That's what this thing is supposed to be about, is you repenting and turning to God. Not about you having your personal need met. What are you looking for? You know what you'll find? What you're looking for. What you came out for to see. What are you looking for? Some are just looking for a comfort, a nice place where everybody's nice and the preacher's nice and we're just all nice together. Isn't that nice? Somebody find me the word nice in the Bible. Isn't that weird? Not one time. But it's important to you. It ain't very important to God. Now, he says be kind. Amen. And I'm not saying that you shouldn't be nice. I'm not saying you're supposed to purposely be a jerk to be a Christian. Okay? But this idea that it's all about, well, I went to that church and only like two people even shook my hand. Well, I hope more than that do. But how many people's hand did you shake? Yeah, the Bible says, if you want friends, show yourself friendly. And did somebody not want to shake your hand when you went to shake their hand? Now, what happened? Isn't that weird? Nobody shook my... Yeah, but you didn't shake anybody's either. Right? Well, I can always tell when I'm hitting right on it. There's just a certain ring out there. It's like a thump. Instead of it kind of coming back in a nice, all of a sudden there's a... Say, what is that? That's you just start throwing rocks and all of a sudden you hear... You know you hit the dog. You can always tell when you hit the dog. Amen. See, here's Herod. He wants to see Jesus. Jesus shows up to him. Jesus don't talk to him. Jesus doesn't do anything for him. What was Herod looking for? He was hoping to see a sign. I've heard about all these miracles he's been doing. I want to see something. You know what Jesus did for him? Nothing. Why? Last time God spoke to Herod was through John. What was the message? Repent! He didn't want to repent. He just wanted his personal need met. What are you looking for? What are you looking for? In life, what are you looking for? In general, in Christianity, in a church, in your own family, in everything, in your goals, what are they all about? What is it really that you are looking for? Look with me in John chapter 6. You know, in John 6, you know what Jesus does? He feeds 5,000 men plus women and children safely to save probably over 15,000 people with five loaves of bread about the size of your hand and two small fishes. Feeds 15,000 people, a miracle. And all those people got to eat of the bread and eat the fish. And you know what they want to do? Look at verse 15, John 6, verse 15. When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again to a mountain himself alone. What's the people's response when Jesus meets their physical need? We love this guy. He's the greatest, man. He ought to be our king. And they all come, oh, Jesus, we love you. Reign over us. You are our Lord. You are our king. You're the greatest. Let's sing some songs together. He is our king. He is our... We call it windshield wiper music. So you can... And you repeat the same words over and over and over again. Because you love Jesus. I want him to be my king. And then Jesus turns around the same chapter and starts giving them his words and starts teaching and preaching the word of God to them. Look at verse 60. Many, therefore, of his disciples, when they had heard this, the same day, this is an hard saying. Who can hear it? I can't believe he said that. When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, doth this offend you? See, he's just said something that just rubbed them the wrong way. You ever gotten rubbed the wrong way? If not, come back here a few times. I'll guarantee it. Amen. I'll be happy to rub the cat the wrong way in hopes that the cat will be turned around. What, and if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? Yes. Verse 63. It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. You're interested in the bread that'll take care of your flesh. You're interested in the physical to take care of your physical needs. What about my words? Why don't they interest you? What are you looking for? It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. You're faking it. You're just going through the motions. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. He said, therefore, said I unto you, that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Aren't people funny? Aren't people fickle? Listen, you want a needs-based church? You'll have to keep playing that game the rest of your life. Because people are fickle. People are funny. All these people are wanting to make him king. Thousands of people. Now, he's going to have 12 left before he's done. In one day, what happened? Here's Jesus. He comes into Jerusalem, riding on the colt, the foal of an ass. All the people, Hosanna in the highest! Here he is! Here's our King! Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord! 3 days later, crucify him! That's people. Say, you can't please all the people all the time. No, sure can't. You sure can't. There ain't no way. So don't even try. Please God. When God gives you opportunity to please Him by pleasing others, you'll please others. But your life won't be about that. Your life will be about pleasing God. That wasn't in the message. That was free. Amen. What happens? Verse 67. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will you also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. You know what's different about those 12? They were looking for something different. That's all. You see, the question is, what are you looking for? What are most looking for? They're looking for the bread. They're looking to have some physical need met. What are you looking for? What came ye out for to see? Did you come here today to get fed the Word of God? Is that your need? Or is it something else? It'll come out. Amen. Always does. Think about our missionaries, the struggles they go through with this very issue on the foreign fields that they go to. They go to a lot of places where they hear, oh, American missionary. And you know what that says to all those people? What do they look at? That's a dollar sign, man. That's, oh, there's going to be somebody to come and feed us and clothe us and help us out with all of our physical needs. Now listen, if you can do that to get the doors open to preach the gospel, praise the Lord. I have no problem with that whatsoever. But it's always about the words. It's always about eternal life. And then you'll find out what people are really looking for. Amen. Brother Robinson there, he's had thousands of them Africans come there. You know what they're looking for, most of them? They weren't looking for what he had to really offer. But he's got a church, maybe about the size of ours, of some people there that are in it for the right reason. That are looking for the right thing. See? And that's the Lord's question. That's what he asks in this whole passage concerning John. What do you think John was looking for? How about those others? What were they looking for? I've had plenty come this way. I had a man and his wife used to come here, this church. They left. Started going to a Southern Baptist church over in Pensacola. You know why? I didn't know exactly why, but I knew something was wrong, and it wasn't with him. It was with her. She didn't like Brother Ray. Brother Ray bothered her. You know, I just found out, I guess within the last 6 months or so, him and his wife have been separated. While he was away, she's on the internet with pictures of herself. I mean, pictures of herself. Young people here, I won't be any more plain than that. You can read between the lines. I wonder why she wasn't comfortable here. See? It all depends on what you're looking for. What are you looking for? Are you looking for a place where if you need to repent, God can get in your kitchen and turn over the tables and say, "Hey! Straighten up!" Or are you looking for a place to meet some personal need? See? That's the question. That's the question the Lord's asking them. And that's the question He's asking you. What are you looking for? That Bible says in Philippians chapter 3, where Paul warns them, he says, "Many walk, of whom I've told you often and now tell you, even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ." He's not talking about lost people. But they're the enemies of the cross. See, cross means self-sacrifice. That's you on the cross. They're enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose glory is in their shame, whose God is their belly. That's those of John chapter 6. Who mind earthly things. See, what are you looking for? For some, look there in verse 23. You know what some are looking for? Luke chapter 7, verse 23. Some are looking for a way out. That's what they're looking for. I'm just looking for an excuse. I'm looking for a way out of this thing. Verse 23, "And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me." Oh, that preacher offended me. Well, you missed a blessing. Man, if you'd said amen and praise the Lord instead, God could have blessed you. Know what he said? You missed the blessing when you get offended. Why did they get offended? That's what they were looking for. Verse 33. "For John the Baptist came neither eating bread nor drinking wine, and you say, 'He hath a devil.' The Son of Man has come eating and drinking, and you say, 'Behold, a gluttonous man and a wine bibber, a friend of publicans and sinners.' But wisdom is justified of all her children." In other words, it wouldn't matter what John had done or what Jesus was done, because they were just looking for that excuse, just looking for a way out. A reason why I don't have to submit to John's baptism. A reason why I don't have to submit to Jesus Christ's authority in my life. And if you're looking for a reason out, you'll find one. Just depends on what you're looking for. If you're looking to be offended, you will be. Next time you're looking to be offended, just come to me before the service and I'll get it over with real quick. I'll tell you your breath stinks or something and we'll take care of it, right? Then you can relax for the rest of the service. I've already been offended. That's over with. Now praise the Lord. Amen. I'll say it. I've said it before. I'll say it again. Why is it that nothing that offends God offends you? Why is it that it's what offends you that offends you? Who's first in your life? Or haven't you already answered that question? That's why people get offended. It's not what offends God that offends them. They've never considered that. That thought's never even come into their mind. Did John offend the Pharisees? Yep. Did Jesus offend the Pharisees? Yep. Totally different ministries. Totally different way. Didn't matter. You understand? It didn't matter. You know what I believe? Everybody, if you're here right now, hearing this preaching, if we were meeting in an old garage with a window air conditioning, no sound system, on a concrete floor with chairs, maybe that'll happen someday, that you all would still be here. Would you? Hello? You see? Why'd you come? What are you looking for? What's the most important thing to you? Well, the preacher didn't shake my hand. And did you notice he's got a scuff on his shoe? You know, they're gorgeously appareled. And, you know, what are they looking for? It ain't what I'm looking for. And if you're a man in here and you're worried about how I'm dressed anytime, don't tell me. All right? You'll scare me and I won't shake your hand. Amen. I've got plenty of people come to this church. They'll sit in Sunday school, come out to the Bible Institute, whatever. Oh boy, they're just learning the Bible. Oh, where have you all been all my life? This is what I've been looking for. And they start learning that Bible. Next thing, they start realizing, wait a minute. I'm learning this Bible, and now God's wanting me to do something with it. He's wanting me to actually put this stuff into action. And then all of a sudden, you don't see him as often. And then all of a sudden, you don't see him anymore. What happened? Well, it just depended on what they were looking for. What are you looking for? Are you looking for an excuse to justify the way you're living? You'll find one. What are you looking for? Are you looking to get in? Or are you looking to get out? Christian, get all the way in. Look to get all the way in. Look to just sell all out. Hey, if you're looking for that, you'll be all right. What are you looking for? I mean, Israel, God rescues them from Pharaoh. Delivers them from bondage. Feeding them in the wilderness. Man, they've got it made. Hallelujah. God is our God. We got the right God. It's all good. And God says, all right, now I want to start. You have to start doing this. You have to start doing this. I want you to start doing... Wait a minute. What about Egypt? You know those leeks and onions? What were they looking for from that time on? Were they looking for the promised land? Were they looking for a closer walk with God? What were they looking for? They were looking for an excuse to get back to Egypt. What are you looking for? You looking to get in? Or are you looking to get out? You know what some are looking for? They're looking to be served. Verse 31. And the Lord said, whereunto shall I liken the men of this generation? And what are they like? They are like unto children sitting in the marketplace, calling one to another and saying, we have piped unto you, and ye have not danced. We have mourned to you, and ye have not wept. You're not serving us the way we expect to be served. Now here's John in prison, soon to have his head cut off. And when he goes to send his disciples, he's not looking for a way out. He's not looking for a way to not serve. He's just wanting to make sure, I want to make sure I'm serving the right one in the right way. Amen? And he gets his answer. He's looking for the right thing. What are you looking for? Verse 24. You looking for a reed shaking in the wind? Sorry to disappoint. You come to the wrong place. If you think you're going to come to this church and control me, you're wrong. Let me give you a little advice. something God knows that you don't. God has a hard time controlling me. Why would you think you could? Amen. The rest of you will meditate on that for a while. It'll come to you. They're looking for a pastor they can control, church they can run. One fellow said, I never was much good to God till I realized God never intended me to be a great man. That's something to think about. You know what JFK is quoted as saying? Former president. Ask not what you can do for your country. I mean, what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country. Why did he have to say that in the first place? Because how are most people? What's the government going to do for me? Huh? That's what most Americans think today. That's why we're in the mess we're in. Right? Now, when it comes to the Lord, what's it about for you? Is it looking for a place to serve? Or is it looking for a place to be served? You see? You understand? It just all depends on what you're looking for. That's the question that Jesus asks them. Very, very plain. Very simple. It's like Sister Marine, she got up here and gave her testimony. That was it. You know what she says? It came down to a personal decision. And you know what that personal decision would be based on? What you're looking for. Amen. What are you looking for? Are you looking for a place to repent? Or are you just looking to have your needs met? What are you looking for? Ask yourself, what am I really in this thing for? What is it I'm looking to get out of this thing? Some are just looking to be served. Preacher, he got up one time, he's telling a story of this slave named Sam. He's a saved man. And he obeyed the Bible, and he served as unto God and not to man. Every time that slave would finish a job, he'd be right there at his master's door, knocking on the door, telling him the job was done, asking him if he had anything else for him. Continually. Young lady heard that message. She got down that night after the church service, and she just prayed this simple prayer. Lord, make me like Sam. Amen. Make me a servant. What are you looking for? Are you looking for your needs to be met or God's? Are you looking to get in or get out? Are you looking to serve or to be served? You know what you need? You need the spirit of Solomon. What did Solomon offer? What did God offer to Solomon? You remember? Anybody remember? What did God offer Solomon? No, that's what Solomon asked for. What did God offer him? Anything. Blank check, buddy. Huh? Isn't that what God just says, you name it, Solomon, it's yours. That's it. That's what God offered him. Solomon's response was what? God, give me wisdom to judge this thy great people. In other words, help me to do what you've called me to do, to be the servant that you want me to be. That's a king. And yet that was his request. That was his desire. See, what are you looking for? Now look in verse 19. We'll be done pretty soon. Verse 19. John, calling unto him two of his disciples, sent them to Jesus, saying, Art thou he that should come, or look we for another? Are you what I'm looking for? That's the question. That's what he's asking. He's wanting to know. You know what John's looking for? He's just looking for the truth. He's looking for light. He's looking for understanding. He's hungry. You know what he's looking for? Let me see the fruit. I want to make sure I got this thing right. We're okay? What does Jesus do? Heals the lame, opens the ears of the deaf, opens the eyes of the blind. He had just raised someone from the dead, and Jesus tells those disciples of John, now you go back to John, tell him what you saw. That's my answer. What was Jesus' answer to John? Here is the evidence. You've got the fruit. You see? You understand? If you're looking for something, is that how you look for it? Is that how you discern if God's in something or not? We okay? Let me see the fruit. God tells those children of Israel, I want you to go to my promised land. And I've got it all there for you and everything's there. Wait a minute, God. Let me send a couple of my disciples ahead. I want to find out, is this really the deal? You know what they do? They go into the land. You know what they bring back? The fruit. The fruit. That should have been enough for those people. But you know what they hear instead? The evil report. So they're not judging it by the fruit. They start judging it by what so-and-so said and what so-and-so did. And God has to end up killing that whole generation off. That's pretty serious business. Because they had no discernment. Why? Because they weren't looking. You come in here to be fed? Why you come to this church? What are you looking for? You looking to get in? You looking to get out? You looking to serve? You looking to be served? Are you looking for a way that you can better meet God's needs? Or just a place where yours can be met? Are you looking to grow and become fruitful? Are you looking for greatness? Notice, verse 28. Look at chapter 7, verse 28. For I say unto you, among those that are born of women, there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist, but he that is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. Jesus, right there with those Pharisees, right there with those lawyers, those scribes, telling them, you have the opportunity for greatness more than John the Baptist. Anybody here born again? Anybody here been saved? You know, the Bible says you're greater than John the Baptist. If you're here and you're not saved, wouldn't you like to be great? In Jesus' eyes, you know how you do that? You get saved. But it shouldn't end there. It shouldn't end there. The idea is, what are you looking for? Are you looking for greatness? We, brethren, in this country, United States of America, greatest nation that's been on the face of this earth, no doubt about it. But America is now going down the tubes. And one of the main reasons, listen up, we're not done yet. One of the main reasons that America is going down the tube is what's been going on in America since the 1960s is in America, they are no longer raising the bar. They are instead continuing to lower it. To the point now where everybody can be an A student. Everybody can have a 4.0 average. Everybody's special. No, what we need is greatness. You don't get greatness by continually lowering the bar. My youth pastor has specific orders from me when it comes to those young people. Challenge them. Raise the bar. Say why? That's what brings forth greatness. I'm not going to come down here and just tell you how wonderful you are. I'm going to come down here and tell you how you're messed up. That's the only way you're going to achieve greatness. You don't achieve greatness by focusing on where you've already succeeded and what your strengths are. You come to greatness by looking at where my weaknesses are, what I need to shore up, what I need to improve in. Well, I just go to that church, and every time I go, he just makes me feel so bad. Well, listen, get over your feelings. Get over yourself and just come here for a year and then look back and say, am I better now? Am I greater Christian now than maybe I would have been? Because he loved me enough to put his finger in my face and say, quit it. And start doing this. And get right. See? What's your need? Your need is repentance. My need is repentance. Continually. That's what this thing's about. You need to be fed the Word of God and strengthened so that you'll bear fruit for Jesus Christ. This whole thing is supposed to be about Him. And so the question is, the question Jesus asked, the real question, what are you looking for? Now, let's open our hymnals. We'll sing a song and I'll let you go. Sister Tammy, if you'd come ahead, please. See if I can find it real quick here. 316. 316. Let me ask you this. You know, if you're just looking for the truth, if you're looking for Jesus Christ, if you're looking to please God, then you'll be satisfied. Amen. That's what this song's about. Amen. The only thing that's ever really going to satisfy you is Jesus Christ and His words. Amen? That's the only thing in this life, brethren, that satisfies. The Bible talks about a bunch of people out there that are ever learning, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. You know what it is? They're never satisfied. A guy sang a song about it one time. I can't get no satisfaction. You're not going to find it that way. But if you'll simply say, you know what? I need to repent. I need just to turn my life over to God. I just need to give it all to Him. And when you do, you'll find a satisfaction. But it won't be based on your needs. It'll be based on His. What are you looking for? 316. Let's sing it out. All my life long I had panted for a drink from some cool spring. Thought would quench the burning of the thirst I felt within. Think about it. Hallelujah, I have found Him who my soul so long has craved. Jesus satisfies my longing. Through His blood I now am saved. As Sister Tammy continues to play, I'm reminded so much by that first verse. It's my life story. I didn't grow up in church. I didn't know about any of that. I grew up an evolutionary atheist, educated, proud sinner. But the whole time, I was looking for something. But I didn't know what it was. I knew it was something, but I couldn't put my hand on it. I couldn't figure it out. And then, He found me. And then I knew all the time, that's what I was looking for. That's what I was looking for. Amen. Is that what you're looking for? Have you found it? You'll find it in Christ. Amen. Let's sing it on the last verse. Well of water ever springing, bread of life so rich and free, untold wealth that never faileth, my Redeemer is to me. Hallelujah. Yes, thank God, I found him. Who my soul so long has craved. Jesus satisfies my longing. Through his blood I now am saved. Amen. Brother Wes, close us in prayer, please.